Welcome back to the LIBF Financial Advisor Podcast. This is part three of our three-part special podcast on all things consumer duty, bonds, markets and investments, all the important stuff that's going on in our industry at the moment. If you haven't listened to part one or part two, please listen back on your chosen podcast platform or visit our website, libf.ac.uk/podcasts. Part three explores investments and what should advisors be thinking about when talking to their clients. Let's get on with the pod, and I really hope you enjoy listening. So I'm going to carry on with you here then, Nicola, because I think this is a really important point as well, which was, you know, and the final point that we're really going to cover today, which is, you know, along the same theme really, but probably a little bit more urgent for some clients that are coming very close to retirement. And so in the pickle that unfortunately some people are going to find themselves in, because we are in an uncertain time over the coming months for some clients, you know, Dave's rightly said the majority, it's and Martin both said the same thing: hold your nerve, stand firm, wait with your investments, wait it through. But for some clients, that's, it's a little bit more urgent in that they're about to retire, they'd like to stop work, they'd like to get their income, they'd like to start thinking, okay, you know, this is my life is about to change, but all of a sudden I'm worried that I'm not going to be able to get what I thought I was going to get 6 months ago. And as an example of that, I was talking to my neighbor who has retired, but she's coming up to her official retirement, so she's going to start drawing her pension soon. And she's got a little pot of £36,000, and she's got her main pension is fine, and that's going to pay out no problem, all the rest of it. But her, this little pot of £36,000, she's saying, well, the last 6 months, it's lost £2,000. And nobody wants to take it on. What do I do with it? And of course, I mean, I can't advise her, but, you know, obviously it's kind of, well, the trouble is you could, as Dave said, you can lock in loss, transfer it into cash, and that's it. You never get the money back. And then potentially you could lose out on the growth and blah, 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 blah. But obviously, you know, for those people that are coming up to retirement now, there are losses that they've received over the last few months. What do we tell, what should advisors be thinking about talking to clients in those situations?
Oh, do you know, that's such a good point. And also the other aspect to this is the cost of living crisis and people accessing pension pots because they can, because of pension freedoms. So what's my view on this? Do you know, again, it's that proactivity piece. I think, and this is my personal view, I think, you know, if you're looking to build a brand, a reputation, add value, you know, value proposition, we talked about, you know, that just earlier, I would be going to see people and chatting them through and you know, just try and encourage people not to make rash decisions. I mean, if you've got somebody who is looking to access a pension pot because they've hit 55 and they can just now, you know, it's trying not to allow them to do it without informed decisions. So this is that, obviously, you know, the FCA personified here, isn't it? It's like informed, because by simply thinking you've accessed money out of a pension pot, what are the ramifications of that? Well, you could have incurred the money purchase allowance. You could actually have lost child benefit. There could be a whole host of stuff. And so, you know what? You know, it's one of those things where even if there's a campaign, a Facebook campaign, something to raise awareness, and if anything like that's on your mind, have a chat. Have a chat with me. Have a chat with somebody, you know, to gauge that. And likewise, for the people who are in retirement or looking to fully draw down on their funds, the value advice just comes into it right now to say, right, okay, let's look at the bigger picture. What else is there potentially that we can do before accessing the pot? So it's about, you know, being present for people and being able to offer them guidance, in my view.
I still think, interestingly, this is really spot on, by the way, and it's going to, I can see this discussion being really ever so relevant. But I still think that clients, before they see their advisor, still have the view that when they retire, it's a one hit. Do you know what I mean? And I you know, I retire, I get my annuity. I still think that is in the public consciousness to a certain extent, with, for those that don't get advice. For those that do get advice, they're better informed. And advisors do a fantastic job. But I think the general consciousness, because that's what that was the impression I got from my neighbour. And there's no reason. I've not been a regulated financial advisor for donkey's years. So, I'd never advise anybody. And certainly, when they know what industry I'm in, you always get the people coming to say, can you tell me about this? And I'm sure we all do around this table, of course, you realize actually when she was talking, she gave me the impression that she thought, I've got to make a decision. It's only one decision I can make. And that was, and she's really clever. I mean, really, really, really clever. She ran her own finance teams and that sort of thing. So we're talking about somebody who's used to money. So it was really strange. So Martin, your thoughts on this?
Well, you'll remember as well as I do, sort of 2006 A-Day, pension simplification. Oh, do you remember
good
that?
God.
It should have been sued under the Trade Descriptions Act for that time. And now, as you said, we've sort of got pension freedoms, which comes under the same sort of banner to me.
Saying that, it was less trouble than Lamborghini Day from Mr. Osborne, wasn't it, really? So,
pension, the world of pensions, dealing with pensions, clients understanding pensions has never been more complex than it is now.
Agreed.
Okay, and the advisor, I've used this phrase before and I still believe it. The job of an advisor is to help a client understand the reality of the situation that they're in. Okay, so if you have got your lady who's got a small pot, not knowing what to do with it, this is where Dave talks about this a lot. This is where cash flow models really play their part. Okay, because that cash flow models do help people to understand the reality of the situation they're in. If inflation does this and you want to take this out each year, then we can factor in when you get your state pension and whatever. So, all things considered, if you look at the statistics, we can see roughly how long you're going to live, barring any critical illnesses and that sort of thing. So hopefully you'll either run out here or, hopefully, you'll run out before your money does. If that's sort of how you look at life.
Yeah, I think the phrase was sort of live too long, die too soon, or get sick and disabled and not be able to fund that. Or something along those lines, the three combinations, that's it, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So, there's always things that you can do, sort of more simple things that people can do as well. As I think Dave alluded to this last time as well. And straight away I did do exactly what you said, John. I jotted it down and I thought, I've looked at that before. And I went away and did a little bit of work on, how we should spend about 3 hours a year just looking at our outgoings and seeing if there's anything we can cut down on, as you said, all those apps that you did use once that come out on a recurring direct debit every year, but because they're only 40 quid, 50 quid a year, or you don't notice them, do you? And all those sorts of things that people can do. But Nicola's spot on, taking the right advice at the right time, having a good overview of your finances with a qualified advisor, being in front of your clients as much as you can at this particular stage is absolutely vital. Because if you're starting to draw on a downward market, then we all know that it's very difficult to climb back. Okay. So, taking your money from the right place at the right time is important.
And definitely think that you're right. The when you look at the other thing, I think it shouldn't be viewed as being brave picking up the phone to your client who's on a downturn. Do you know what I mean? And yet I do. Yeah, I still think it happens now. It certainly did when I was advising. If you had a downturn, you had a bunch of advisors who wouldn't ring their clients because they were worried about what they were going to say. They were worried about getting a telling off because they'd advised them to go into these funds. And actually, the reality is you've given them the right advice. The whole point is it's not a one-off hit piece of advice. It's an ongoing planning process and you are very much the center of it. And it's very important that you make sure the client is also the center of that piece of work. So that's the key to it. I think you're go and speak to your client, because you are more critical in their financial circumstances than you ever have been before, in my opinion. Dave, thoughts on that one?
Oh God, crikey, where'd you start? I mean, not like that, but it's obviously everybody's right. I think, well, First of all, let's go back to the providers. They really want to give solutions at the moment, as in a sustainable drawdown bit. Now, we've got the evidence out there, Bengen, Fowle, whatever, and I noticed they've commented recently based on higher inflation and lower asset returns. Potentially, will those be right? I don't know, that people should readjust the Bengen Fowle stats. You know, the 4% rule should come down, and we know the 4% rule was US-based anyway and not for our economy, so different. So you've got that, and then you see you've got asset managers come out and say, oh, we've got a perfect solution. What we'll do is come onto our platform, for example, and then what you do is draw down your bonds first. Well, that's going well at the moment. Then you can draw down on the equities later. They might have some property in there as well. That's great. A liquid asset. That's fantastic. The advisor might have sold the client a load of AIM stock. They're really liquid. You know, you've got those in their ISA. They're really liquid, aren't they? And I think coming back to what we're talking about, the bonds, it's not letting the tax tail wag the investment dog. It's using your cash flow planning. Like Nicola was saying, it's taking a step back and looking at things. And you're right, John. I think people are hardwired over, we've all done it over years. You know, you've got a final salary scheme. You take your tax-free cash. You look around at your neighbours and what do? They do the house up. They redecorate it. They might stick something onto the house. They might upgrade the car, get a new car. And they do all that when they retire. So the holiday, they do all that sort of stuff, you know, go and nearly get eaten by lions. And then they go and then they spend the rest of their life on the rest of the money and they expect it to be a fixed amount and, you know, yada, yada. It goes on that way. And of course, the pension freedoms, it's completely different, of course. You know, I think that's the thing. I think it's the ultimately question, you know, ultimately, what's this money for? You know, ultimately, you know, what is it for? And I think it's some fixed things in people's minds as well. Why do people, we've all had this, those of us worked in banks, you'll always hear about clients that have got a shed load of disposable income each month because they're hardly spending anything. And you go, so they've got this income from wherever it's come in retirement and they don't, because they want to leave money to the kids. They go, why? Why? And I think this is this thing about Nicola's educating clients. I think it's giving clients a challenge. And another thing it gives is, I was watching, it was something like Panorama the other day, and it's an American company have bought out a load of GP practices. Didn't even know this went on. And what they put a secret spy journalist in there. Goodness knows how they got them to get a job. And they were in there, you know, with the hidden cameras. And this person was saying, you know, where are the GPs? No, never ask that question, never ask that. So there's no GPs in this practice. So people were phoning up, trying to get appointments. And this person said, I've been trying to get one for 6 months. And literally, GPs are gone. You know, nobody there. And that's a bit like, hopefully this doesn't happen in the, you're watching there again, this is disgraceful. But you think about it, coming back to Nicola's bit, you get an initial fee and you get an ongoing fee. Your client is paying you for your profession to be there for them. You know, I look on Strava, slight segue here, but you'll love this. When I was away in Anglesey, I was in a part of Anglesey, I didn't know any running routes, which is unusual. So I've got Strava already. So subscribe $6.99 to create a map. Then I realized you don't need a map because what you do when you run, you just keep turning right, don't you? Or just keep turning left. And you roughly get back anyway. And if you get really stuck, you phone up your wife and you say, can you come and pick me up? And she says, just walk. And then that's it, isn't it? It's quiet. Because she knows you'll be out of the house longer and she'll be a lot happier. And I think, you know, it's, I think these things, but looking at Strava, I see a lot of advisors who spend a lot of time doing a lot on the bikes, doing a lot of training, and I'm sure if there's an equivalent golf app, your client, it's a hard thing to say, your clients aren't paying you for that. Do that in non-working time. Be worse at it. You're not going to race the Tour de France. You're not going to win the Tour de France. It doesn't really matter. And arguably, doing long endurance stuff isn't really good for your heart anyway. So I know too many people with heart arrhythmia. Spend more time with your clients. Like Nicola said, go and see them, coach them, do good things for them. You took that ongoing advice fee, so work for it and earn it. And I think that's the important thing, and be there for the clients.
Brilliant. And that really is the theme, isn't it, today, is just be there for your client. I think all the way through, everything we've talked about is all about putting client central to what we're trying to do, consumer duty especially. And it leads on to all the other stuff. And you know, Amazingly, we talked about bonds and didn't mention with profits. That's quite impressive as well. Well done not mentioning with profits. My God, you stayed away from that. That's a there's a thorny subject we don't want to get into. Or the other one was it pension assured funds? That was the other thing. Yeah, the smooth effect, the stepped profile and all that rubbish that used to go on. Yeah, all that sort of, yeah. Gosh, no, those were the days. So amazing chat. Thank you very much, guys. I think that's just been quite exceptional for the very little planning that unfortunately Martin sort of let you all in on. You know, actually we've done quite well. So I'm very, very impressed at how much we've talked about and how much we've covered. It'd be remiss of me not to mention a very amazing upcoming event at LIBF, which is, I've already alluded to at the start, but our mortgage conference on the 3rd of November. So please look at our website. There's emails going out all over the place at the moment to members and various other people. It's at the Congress Centre in the centre of London, near Tottenham Court Road tube station. It's going to be an incredible event. Our headline sponsor is Legal & General, which the majority of us here actually used to work for at one point or another. So it's great to have them on board. We've also got the likes of Simply Academy, Key Group, Standard Life, Lloyds, and Esther Deist is going to be speaking. If anybody knows Esther, she is phenomenal. And it's going to be great listening to her. We've got Canada Life. We've got Work Smart, who are coming along, and Julie Pardy is an absolute expert when it comes to consumer duty. Actually, a few more to come to be confirmed, and various other speakers and what have you. So we've got a lot going on. This is a very, the interesting thing about this conference is that it's not product push. This is purely educational. What we really want to do is get across to people what you need to do to expand your knowledge and your skills in mortgage, equity release and protection. Now, although this is a financial advisor podcast, we know that an awful lot of you do mortgages, an awful lot of you do protection, an awful lot of you have got an interest or vested interest in equity release. Some of you do, some of you don't, but it's an opportunity to learn more. And if you would love to come along, we'd love to have you. I think it's going to be a fabulous event. We're really looking forward to running it. I'm going to be the host on the day, lucky old me. And we've got various dignitaries coming along as well. The Equity Release Council is going to be there as well. They're going to be fantastic for you to have a chat with. Jim Boyd will be coming along, who's the chief executive of that. So it's just a huge number of people coming along. You know, we're really, really looking forward to welcoming lots and lots of people into London. So look out for that event, register for it. I'm sure you'll get a huge amount out of it. You know, we're really taking a great bit of pride into this. It'll be our first one, but it certainly won't be our last, based on the amount of interest we've had already. And you can see there, you know, our main title sponsors and what have you. We couldn't wish for a better group of people to come and join us. So fabulous stuff. Just some final comments, really, if there's anything left. I think I've exhausted all three panel members of our group here. So Nicola, big smile on your face. So you're obviously still happy. That's good news.
Relief. No, I'm only joking. And no, honestly, I think, ironically, you know, everything you've talked about has all come back to the client-centric aspect that we started out with. So, great conversation as always.
Fabulous. Great to have you along as always as well, Nicola. We missed you. Don't miss another one, please. Oh. Please keep coming back. Martin, any final thoughts from your good self?
No, a bit like Nicola, actually. It's just, as you said, it's interesting how you can start with such a wide variety of topics. But thankfully, you know, we're in a position where they do all end up in the same spot with a client, you know, and it's, as you said, it's, I see it as two spots. It's the client and also the business as well. So, you know, we can't offer the client a great service without having the amount of advisors that we need in the profession. And, you know, we've gone through a massive dip of, advisors leaving the profession. And now, as you said, we need to seriously have a think about, you know, how organisations, small and large, really welcome new advisors in, whether they be young, whether they be female, whether they, whatever they are, right person in the right place at the right time. And I think as a profession, we've really got to think about that, because we are in that sort of the bottom of the letter U, if you like. And we're coming into a time where advisors, where clients are going to need more advice than ever from qualified people. So, you know, it's a slow burn. I think we've got to get on it now.
I totally agree. And actually, for those that are still have been around a while or just come into the industry or, you know, are really just expanding their knowledge, I think that, you know, don't stop educating yourself. Keep going. Gosh, you know, and I know it's tough. I know it's time consuming. I know how difficult it can be. I know that the need to see clients is absolutely central to what you do. But equally, just getting that knowledge up there as well. Go and study a level six, even if it's one unit, go and do something. And it will, I promise you, pay dividends. I think everybody around this table who've really done that extra bit of study, gone the extra mile, Nicola with her new MBA, I mean, and a shining example of education in her own right. You know, Martin Fellow, Dave and I all just, you know, well, you know, winging it since 1987, aren't we, Dave?
Dr. David Owen, actually. Yes,
Oh, you had to go one up, didn't you?
He's always going to do something, hasn't he? Really. I think, you know, just do, you know, it just makes such a difference, not just to you, but your clients and that confidence and that sort of thing. Dr. David Owen, sorry, final thoughts on where you are.
I was introduced yesterday. I did a talk somewhere and they introduced me as Lord David Owen of the Balkans, which I thought was hilarious. But
were you part of the Liberal Democrats at one point?
Yeah, and the Gang of Four and all that sort of stuff, remember, and spitting image with did he David steal our money? I think, do you know what? I was reading a psychology book about if you just regularly tap your hand, for example, and you get into the rhythm. It calms you down. You know, you get people like elastic bands on the wrists, usually in my meetings, doing that. And you know, John, from running, the first mile is always hard.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, all the bad thoughts go out of your mind and all the good things come in. And I think that's the same, you know, go for a brisk walk in the countryside type of thing. I think we need more of that. I think if advisors, you know, just like advice to the clients as well, just take, you know, an hour a day, leave the phone alone, go for an hour walk in the countryside at a brisk pace, listen to the bird song, which we know is all classical music.
Or this podcast, actually.
Yes, all this, yeah, or you can listen to the podcast with some Aftershocks headphones, which I greatly recommend. But just go for a walk and just let the good thoughts come in, you know, about the practice and about the business and dealing with the moment, because it gives you that chance to put everything in its place. And I think, you know, at the moment we need that, because, you know, you put the news on and we know the news was never that good. It was daft as it seems during the pandemic. We know when during the pandemic it was life or death news. It was like that. It was compelling. And I think we got hooked even more, and we put it on now. And we also had that period of time when we had Piers Morgan, of course, entertaining us all and offending most of the nation, you know, on GMTV. And then now you put it on and it's just not good for the mental health, I don't think. Mm. And like you say, like Martin said, the footsie stuff and, you know, all that sort of stuff. I think we just need to calm it down, focus on doing the important stuff. You know, my metric of phone 10 people a day and reach out to your clients, 10 people a day, you can't go wrong. As long as you're doing that, and Nicola's point, chatting to them. And I think that's, everything will be all right then.
Yeah, perfect. And I have to say, you know, just to use that running analogy as you've used it, you know, anybody that does any long distance, whether it's, you know, Dave and I have run marathons and over the years, you know, it's always taking that first step, especially training, you know, on a dark December morning when you've got to go out and do a training run of 20 miles or something. The first step is the worst one. Getting out of the house and taking that first step. Yeah, and head torch, exactly. Yeah, you know, and wet weather gear and all the other stuff. And, you know, remembering, have I got enough, you know, food and water and all the other stuff that goes with it, you know, because you're on your own. That first step is a nightmare. But then when you join the group, when you actually go, you know, that's probably a good analogy for training. Starting it off is always the worst step. When you actually put it into practice and you're working alongside teams and groups, as you do when you go and run a group event, a marathon, long distance cycle, whatever it is, all of a sudden when you're amongst all your peers, you get motivated. But it's finding that motivation when you're on your own, when things feel like they're at the darkest. And like you say, block out the noise, focus on the good stuff. And the good stuff is actually expanding your mind, doing stuff that's new to you and motivates you. So there you go. Anyway, nice. There you go. So I think that's a lovely thought to end on, actually. You know, go out there and do something for yourself and do something that helps you and your clients. I think that's got to be a good thing. Guys, thank you so much. I think I've had an absolute ball doing this one. This is lots of really interesting subjects. So so from Nicola, Martin, David and myself, John Somerville here at the London Institute of Banking and Finance, I really hope you've enjoyed this one. Watch out for the next one. Obviously we're going into a bit of a summer, so that's why we're going to have two parts to this particular podcast, and the next one I'm sure we'll be getting out in August. So I really wish you all a fantastic day and speak to you all very soon.